Joining us in the gallery hot seat, we have Abigail Pang Gong Phuc, an artist we were drawn to by her bold sense and use of colour, and her uncomplicated and clean lines throughout her work gave us a sense of innocence and vulnerability that pulled us in closer to her story. Please say hi to Abigail Pang Gong Phuc. What does art mean to you?
Art for me is a way for me to release my emotions. When I'm painting, I'm telling my story. The narrative of my practice is love and loss. So when I'm painting, it's very cathartic. But on a broader level, it's my way of connecting to the world. Being an artist, it just becomes a way of life. It becomes the way you see things, the way I process everything, really. I think all artists view life quite differently and you see things quite differently. I think you're just more observant. You observe the way people move, the way they live, how you interact with everyone. It can even just be how someone dresses. That's a complete way of life.
What is the driving force of inspiration behind your work?
My practice is driven by the narrative of love and loss, as I said earlier. I've unfortunately been married and separated twice, and the effects of these two relationships has had quite a detrimental effect on my life. So I'm telling the stories, and it's my interpretation of the events that have happened. I've also introduced more recent relationship problems as well, and I'm slowly introducing stories from my childhood. I'm examining the effects on myself and my children and the consequences of my decision. So bullying, manipulation, intimidation and loneliness is the common thread through all my stories. But when I'm painting, it's very empowering and I have a lot to say and I need to say it. And I know I'm very lucky that I have my painting practice as an emotional release.
Who bought your first commission piece and where was it displayed?
I don't really do many commissions because my practice is primarily about my story. But recently I did a series of florals based on some watercolours that my gallery in France was showing. The collector had a very clear vision of what she wanted and the project really worked well. But primarily collectors choose paintings that are in my inventory. The first painting that I sold went to, it was a lady called Ange, and she lived in Kent, and she bought a painting at my show, and it was called Look What I've Done, and it was an image of me in my wedding dress, and it was a massive painting. It was 2.5 metres by 2 metres, and it hangs at the top of her stairwell for everyone to see.
What is your favourite piece to date from your collection of works, and why?
When I'm painting, the piece of work that I'm actually working on is probably my favourite of the moment because I'm so absorbed in telling the story. But if I had to choose a painting that I was reluctant to separate from, it would be the connection to the story, not necessarily how it looks aesthetically. So I have one painting of me and my son, and I'll say that's probably the current painting that is my favourite, and it's about his growth, which is very important as he wants to be a ballet dancer and he needs to make the height of 5'10", which is the optimum height for a male ballet dancer. So it's a long-standing joke in our family, will Elijah make this height? He's currently 5'9".
He's nearly there.
Yeah, he's nearly there. So that is my favourite, the most emotionally connected painting for me at the moment, but that may well change.
What goes through your mind when working on a canvas?
Painting is all encumbering and it's quite draining sometimes. I always have the radio on and it's just white noise in the background. It's just to break the silence. So when I'm painting, I'm primarily thinking about the story, drawing on my memory recall. But subconsciously, I'm thinking about balance, colour, what size brush to use. And it's the subconscious and it all just kicks in. I work with immediacy, so everything is prepped and laid out in advance and I have to work in layers, otherwise it all just becomes a big muddy mess. So I often work on several paintings, maybe 6 paintings at a time sometimes while I'm waiting for the layers to dry. I do a lot of prep, so I make my own stretches and I do the stretch of the canvas and I prime the canvas. And then I have to do all my layouts myself, the patterns. I do all my colour mixing before I start. And and then I just start.
You have a great colour sense, and we love the use of bold and intense colours you use in your work. What colours could you not live without on your palette or mixing board?
I love all colour. I originally trained as a textile designer, and I'm a trained colourist. As a textile designer, I would go to factories and do colourways for wallpaper fabric collections. So playing with colour comes very easily to me. Colour just fascinates me. I just love the way you can tweak a colour, just play with one colour next to another colour, and it completely changes how the whole concept or the whole painting looks. I don't have a favourite colour in oil paints, but my favourite colour is Bengal Rose, which is a Winsor Newton gouache. It's just my absolute favourite colour, and I love using it when I'm doing watercolours, and I just use it straight out the tube.
Who are your biggest artistic influences?
Okay, so Matisse is the artist that really made me aware of painting and art. It was his use of strong pattern and bright colours that captured my imagination. And I also had a tutor when I was doing my part-time classes before I studied my master's, and Matisse was his favourite artist. We'd often sit together and look at lots of his work and his books during our classes. And Matisse, I admire the longevity of his career and the way that his practice kept evolving. But other more contemporary artists that influenced my work, I would say, are Chantal Joffe, Alex Katz, and Joan Eardley. I particularly liked Joan Eardley's paintings and drawings of the children in Glasgow.
What has been the most unforgettable moment in your career? I'm sure you've had many.
It's something that's happened quite recently, and this year one of my paintings was included in an upmarket American Page a Day art calendar. So my work sits along other major modern and contemporary artists. It wasn't so much as an unforgettable moment, more of a sort of head-scratching, like, oh my God, I can't believe I've been included. So my work sits alongside established artists such as Matisse, George O'Keeffe, Mary Cassatt, Turner and Rubens. So every time I look, it still just brings a smile to my face. It just, yeah, it's definitely a moment.
In one way you could say you even manifested that. I mean, saying in our last question, you said Matisse was someone you really admired, and now, you know, a couple of years down the line, you're actually sitting next to him.
Yeah, no, it was quite a moment.
Has there ever been a time when you have wanted to give up? What or who has actually kept you going?
There's never been a moment when I've ever thought about giving up my practice. My work is intrinsically linked to my mental well-being. It helps me to process my complex life, and it helps give me order. My life has been quite disordered, and it is probably the one thing in my life that I have complete control over. My practice has taught me self-belief, and I know I'm extremely lucky to have my art practice as a release for my emotions. One person who I would acknowledge as the person who's supported me the most is a wonderful lady called Hasneem Siddiqui. She came, worked with me for a period of about 6 months as a mentor. She just helped me build my confidence, and she taught me how to navigate the overwhelming and very complex art world. And she's without a doubt the person who's helped me the most.
That link between art and mental health is something that we also stand by here at LNRNT. So again, it's something we completely understand.
Yeah.
It plays a big role, you know, in helping to release and using that kind of creative drive to, you know, I guess turn those kind of uncomfortable feelings into something
absolutely beautiful. My fairy godmother. She sat next to me at an exhibition, and it was a question and answer, and the gentleman giving the talk said, can you speak to the person next to you? And she happened to be sitting next to me, and she asked for my business card, and she said to me at the meeting, I'm going to come and train you. And I went, yeah. First thing next morning, an email pops up, and within a week she'd come to see me, and she never took any money, she refused any payments. And she just turned up. She says, I just believe in you, Abigail. She says, I just really believe you can do this.
She must have saw something.
I know.
She must have read your aura.
She must have. But she's just the most amazing woman. Amazing.
So, Abby, what advice would you give your younger self?
Well, this makes me laugh. The simple answer to that is choose your life partner carefully. Plain and simple. Because if you choose the wrong person, it has a detrimental effect on your life.
I think we can all relate to that one, definitely.
But creatively, I think you have to follow your heart and be honest within your practice and only take work that is heartfelt, otherwise it shows.
Agreed.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.